Finally, a great movie about the priesthood. Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, and Father Bart Tollison next. Hello, and welcome to Focus, the Catholic Answers podcast for living, understanding, and defending your Catholic faith. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And maybe you heard about the new movie opening this week, Father Stu. It's a movie about a priest, a real priest, a guy who really lived and died just recently, just within the last few years. And Mark Wahlberg heard the story and decided to make a movie out of it. So he got some big Hollywood people together, and they made a really, really fine movie. We got to see it, and we were just taken with it, that this really does what you would hope that a faith movie would do. Mel Gibson's in it. Lots of big stars are in it. But more than anything, it's just well-written and well-directed, and it has a beautiful person, a beautiful man, a beautiful priest right at its heart. So we did a couple interviews, three interviews, as a matter of fact, with folks involved in the film or with Father Stu. We thought you'd like to see him. We start with Mark Wahlberg, who put the whole thing together. Here's what Mark Wahlberg had to say. Mark Wahlberg, thank you very much for being with us on Catholic Answers Focus.
Thank you for having me.
We got to see the movie. The staff here got to see the movie. Wow, what a great movie. We just thought you did a fantastic job. Congratulations on a really fine film.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I got to tell you, it's a movie that takes Christian faith very, very seriously, but it's funny from beginning to end. I mean, we were in a theater full of people who were laughing through a lot of the movie. Was that part of this? Is that a strategy? Like, do you want to tell a faith story? Why include so much humor?
Well, I think we want to make people laugh. We want to make people cry and ultimately inspire them to continue to pursue their faith and certainly not lose hope in these very difficult and challenging times. But Stu is a very colorful guy. Yeah. I think the first time I heard the story, and then the second time, I just thought he was fascinating because he was so wildly funny and unpredictable. And, we want to also to make the movie edgy and real. And I think, you know, you see a lot of faith-based films that are very kind of safe. And this movie is just, it's about tough grace and tough mercy. And of course, you know, these are challenging and tough times. So I think, you know, it's one thing to preach to the choir. There's another thing to convert people and bring people in. And also, you know, challenging people to do a little bit better, do a little bit more, and encouraging people to consider the priesthood and knowing how much, you know, they could do if they've ever kind of had that urge to see or pursue that, if that was their calling potentially. So, but everything I heard about Stu was funny and heartwarming and heartbreaking all at the same time. And so we wanted to make something that was just kind of brutally honest.
Yeah. You made me cry in front of the staff though. And I really didn't appreciate that. Pouring out tears at a certain point.
Well, they realize you're probably a little bit more human and they probably, appreciate you a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe. It's a conversion story, and conversion is a hard thing because it's not a visual thing. It's usually a gradual internal, but I wondered if in considering making Father Stu's story, the fact that his conversion is actually visual, it can be depicted visually. It's very visually dramatic. Did that affect your choice about this story?
Well, really kind of me being challenged to do more with my faith and more my representing my spirituality and doing God's work was the real challenge for me. This was like, okay, I've been very blessed, very fortunate, spent a lot of time focusing on me building my career, building my platform. And that was about say, okay, what are you going to do with that? And God didn't put me in this position to keep just making action movies. So I want to make movies that had some real meaning and substance and would hopefully impact people in a very positive way.
It sure seems like it's going to. And watching it, you know, you at the end credits, this name Rosalind Ross comes up. She wrote it and directed it. And we're all like, who's Rosalind Ross? Yeah. Did you find a superstar when you found her?
Yes, I always felt like it was a major, major discovery. Now, I had read some of her other work. Obviously, this is her directorial debut, but she's written quite a number of screenplays. She's not Catholic, so she felt like that would be the biggest challenge. But what she did really relate to right away was somebody who was in search of their calling. And so I felt like once I realized what she was able to put on the page with very little direction, that if she could put it on the page, she could put it on the screen. And so I felt like definitely what better thing to do than to give a first timer a shot and for her to deliver in the way that she did. is absolutely amazing. But I really feel like this movie has been blessed, and I prayed for intercession along the way, and for everything to have lined up the way it has, the response to the film, the kind of release that we're getting with the big major studio, the reaction that we're getting. It's just, it's been it all happens for a reason, as you know.
It does indeed. And I'm sure the Blessed Mother was with you through all of that, because the depiction of her is beautiful.
I asked Mom, I asked Dad, I asked Son, and I asked Stu and everybody else that's been a positive influence in my faith and my life to kind of help us along the way.
Well, I have to say, there, for a Christian, you go to the movie, you see a faith, kind of a movie that you know is about faith in some way. Uh-huh. And in addition to enjoying the movie, you walk out kind of relieved, like, oh, it's not another... I mean, I guess there's two things. It works as a faith story, but it has to work as a movie too. And there's a lot of faith stories that are on film that don't work as movies. So, yes. So I almost want to say, what's the secret, Mark? Tell the other Christian filmmakers, what's the secret? How do you make a human film about a fantastic, interesting guy that's also a really solid faith movie?
Well, I think everybody's so busy trying to play it safe. I think, you know, this is a first in that you've got big time talent, both in front of and behind the camera, big time studio behind it, releasing it just like it's a mainstream film, just happens to have this story, incredible story of this, you know, guy, troubled guy from Montana who finds his calling as a priest and does these amazing things. My focus now will be to continue to make a lot more faith-based content, film, television, scripted, unscripted, long form, short form. So I don't want to give away too many secrets because I really want to kind of continue to change and elevate the game. I wouldn't call it even a genre because, you know, there's lots of different ways to tell these kinds of stories in different genres. But, I've spent 30 some odd years making films and was all in preparation to make this one, both as a producer and an actor and a storyteller. So,
well, you made a beautiful one. And I have to say, so you come out of the movie and, you know, it's all different kind of Catholics there had got to see this movie. And some are like, well, the language. And I thought, well, the language, that's like, I think most people kind of helped those people see this is an important part of making this artwork. Like you,
of course.
In other words, you humanize the faith story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We got a lot of pushback early on because of the language with the archdiocese and various people because they were worried and they didn't really understand. And it just like other people that I initially sent the script to, I don't think they understood the tone of the movie, that there would be humor, that it would be uplifting. At the end of the day, people would leave on an emotional high and it would kind of challenge them. To probably do a little bit more if they're in a position to help a little bit more, be a little bit more like Stu. But we all know who Jesus came to save, right?
Right.
And so these are the people that we're trying to talk to, and especially young people who may think, well, there's too many rules, there's too many regulations. We want to remind them that this is much more of a love letter to the guy who died to build the church than any of the other kind of rules and regulations. But you go to the gas station, you go anywhere, you hear this language all the time.
Right.
And it's language at the end of the day, right? But the message of the most important thing is in luring people in with humor and the language and all. And Stu is a rough and tumble guy, so there is some violence in there. But all the people that I show that were a little resistant in the beginning completely embraced the movie and gave us the most glowing reviews that we possibly have. Because at the end of the day, what the movie is really trying to say is conveyed in the most clear and direct and effective way. And it touches every single person that sees it personally, whatever they're going through. And I've talked to some of the more cynical people, and to see their reaction after I told them this movie is going to touch you, and yeah, whatever. And then, oh my God, after the movie, like, oh my God, I haven't talked to my dad for years.
Yeah.
And I texted him right away and I had to tell him that I love him. And if I didn't tell him, he wouldn't tell me. And now we're going to lunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so many stories like that have come my way, and it really just puts a smile on my face. But, you know, we always tried to push the edge a little bit more, and Rosie would have to rein me in a little bit. But, you know, it's like, Stu, it's such a wild journey from where he started to where he ends up. And that's why he was most effective. He has credibility when he's talking to inmates in prison. He has credibility when he's talking to these people that are working out in the forest, cutting trees down, or in the mines, and people that would wait hours and hours just to talk to him, because he was he was authentic and he had credibility and he lived that life. And those are the most effective people that I've encountered, you know, as opposed to somebody with real experience is always just a little bit more effective in what they're trying to do.
Well, I imagine that's why you're effective too. Mark, you've made a beautiful film. Congratulations on it. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Mel Gibson played an important part in getting this movie made as well, and I'm sure in many ways was helpful to Mark Wahlberg in getting it made. He also gives a great performance in the film as Father Stu's father. We got a chance to sit down just a few minutes to talk with Mel Gibson, and here's what Mel Gibson had to say. Mel Gibson, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us at Catholic Answers Focus.
Hi, Si.
Hi, congratulations on a beautiful film and a wonderful performance.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's very kind of you to say.
We were watching the movie and the name Rosalind Ross came up at the end, and I never had heard of her before. She wrote, directed the movie. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to thank her. I wanted to be like, you made a movie about Catholic faith that's really works as a movie. So is that kind of what attracted you to this?
Yeah, I thought it worked very well. It really, and it didn't sugarcoat anything, and it didn't preach to the choir. It was just, you know, kind of real and down and dirty, and it sort of told the story of this man's transformation and those he affected around him. And I think she, of course, wrote it from the point of view of, I think she was raised in kind of an agnostic household. So,
oh, right. Okay.
So, well, she wasn't kind of in the fold or anything. She just was observing, and which I think is the best way to tell the story.
Yeah. And she really got Catholicism right. I would have bet she was a Catholic to tell
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. No. She asked questions about it.
Yeah.
It was like, and you go, oh, you know, it's like,
I got to say, we see a lot of, faith movies that don't really work as movies. Now, you've made some of the greatest faith movies ever, maybe the greatest faith movie ever. Now you're starring in this one. Please tell me the secret so that other filmmakers will know. How do you make a movie that works as a movie that also shares the faith?
Well, I think it has to be compelling, and you have to touch reality with it so that, you know, I think the secret here is, and I'm sure when you watched the film, you probably laughed in the first half.
A lot,
right? So, okay, you're laughing because you identify with it. It's funny because you identify with it. And that means that there's a grain of truth in it. So I think what you're looking for is just a little truth, you know, not some kind of sanitized saccharine, you know, preaching to the choir thing, but something that is out there, a compelling story, a true story that kind of touches everyone, no matter who they are.
And speaking in a language that's actual language, like people talk like that.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a movie about conversion. The primary mm-hmm. conversion is Mark Wahlberg's character, Father mm-hmm. Stu. That's a very visual conversion. Your character, it's a very interior conversion. Yes. How did it feel portraying that? What are you drawn to portray that?
I believe to begin uh-huh. with. So it's not a big leap for me to make. And it's also, you know, I've been on both sides of it, you know. I've stepped into the dark side and back on the, you know, it's like,
right.
It's easy to relate to coming home, you know? And I think you're right. It was an interior conversion, and it mainly came from him observing and gaining a respect for his son through suffering and then being there for him to accompany him for that journey, you know, because he hadn't been a great dad. But he turned into a great dad, and it's never too late to pick that stuff up. So I think his spirit was like seriously affected.
Yeah, yeah.
By that experience.
The suffering was very real, though. And I have to say, I you know, you go into the movie, you're like, I didn't expect to laugh for the whole first half of the film, as you said.
Yeah.
But then it's Mark Wahlberg does a beautiful job.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of the story, too, though. You got to tell the suffering in order to tell the full Christian story.
Oh yeah. No. It's a man's journey from, you know, ego to humility and, you know, saying there's something bigger than me. Let me try it that way and see how that works. And then he's hit with all these other things, these infirmities and stuff, and he understands it, you know, and he's able to triumph over those things.
Well, Mel Gibson, we're very grateful for your time. A beautiful movie. Congratulations on it.
Thank you.
What a great pleasure to get to talk with Mark Wahlberg and Mel Gibson. We're really grateful for the time we had with them. Both very fine actors and movie makers, but Father Stu was a real person. So we thought, let's not stop there. Let's talk to somebody who knew Father Stu in real life, the real Father Stu. And Father Bart Tolleson from the Diocese of Helena, Montana, was kind enough to come on and speak with us about the real Father Stu and whether or not this movie is the truth. Does it really depict the man as he was? Here's what Father Tolleson had to say. Father Bart Tolleson from the Diocese of Helena, Montana, thank you for being with us.
Good to be here.
And you were a friend of Father Stu?
Yeah, we were friends. We were ordained together December 14th in 2007 and shared a lot of our priestly ministry together here in Helena.
So have you seen the movie?
I have.
Is it weird, like, to see what you lived as life to portray it in a movie?
Yeah, you know, the movie takes a lot of Stu's friends and kind of composites them down to two characters, which is a smart thing to do. When I first saw the trailers, the previews of the film, I started laughing. I really was laughing hard because it was funny to see, you know, having lived with Stu and spent time with Stu, and I know Bill Long, and to see these actors playing these characters and to see events in his life portrayed on the big screen, it was just funny to me. And then I started laughing actually at the movie. I thought it was witty. I kind of liked the pacing. And then seeing the film is a little surreal, but after a little while, you kind of get into the beat of the film and just let the film be the film and take the journey with Stu in the movie.
Yeah. You kind of stopped comparing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You almost have to, because it doesn't work if you compare it.
Well, it is a movie, so I'm sure that much is compressed. Time is compressed. Lots of things are compressed in the movie. But are the basic kind of beats of the conversion of Father Stu as you remember them, or as he related them?
Yes, and that's the beautiful thing about the film. All the essential beats of Stu's conversion, redemption, perseverance, it's all there in the story, and that gets it right.
So what was he like when you knew him?
Well, I met him before he had his diagnosis. He was already starting to suffer. They just didn't know why. He was fun. I mean, he had a good sense of humor. He was very serious about the faith, but loved the faith. And we talked a lot about the faith. He was fun to be with. He challenged me on some things. I challenged him on some things. I mean, that's kind of a friendship.
Yeah, yeah. So you were ordained what year, Father?
2007.
And so you and he were in the same ordination class.
Right. We were the only two in that class, and we were ordained. We were both delayed. He was delayed because of the disease and the negative evaluation from the seminary. And I was delayed because I had transferred from Texas to Montana, and Bishop Thomas wanted to give me just a little extra time to settle into Montana before being ordained a deacon and then a priest. And so it happened that Stu and I were in the same class, but we were just delayed by 6 months. So,
was it both of your desire to just serve as parish priests, maybe be pastors at some point? Was that the basic idea?
You know, I think Stu and I mean, our desire was just to be priests for God, and we wanted to serve God. I don't think either one of us had any sort of, you know, angles on we want to do this or that. And Stu was always like, I just want to serve the people. Whoever I'm with is who I'm going to serve. So where I'm assigned, I serve the people. And that was his philosophy, and that's the way he lived his priesthood. And that's the best way to live your priesthood. You go where God wants you to go, and you serve who's right in front of you as best as you can.
His life is very colorful, the first half of the movie, before the, well, I mean, it's still colorful after, but it's a different kind of color, I guess. Did you know about that colorful past that he had?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He told me stories, many times he told me stories. Uh-huh. And said, look what God can do to me. Look what God can do for anybody.
Yeah. So he was not like, he's a convert, not just, I mean, it's not, I mean to say it this way. He was not a man who merely received, in the course of his Catholic life, a vocation to the priesthood. He's a man who wasn't Catholic at all. Like, he had no
right.
Catholic in him. He's
and he had no religion in him. It was really agnostic.
Yeah. And in the film, I don't really want, I'm going to be careful how I ask questions because I really don't want to ruin the film for anyone. I thought it was a beautiful film. I really did. I was happy at the end of it. And I'm thinking, Mark Wahlberg, I think primarily, who was the guy who put it all together, but along with the woman who wrote and directed it and Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Rosalind Ross. Yeah.
Yeah. They put together a heck of a good Catholic movie. And I thought it was a good movie. You know, I shouldn't have said Catholic, but I felt like it was a heck of a good movie. And it was also Catholic, and that's not always the case. I mean, some of these faith films, Father, I don't know how many faith films you've gone to. Maybe you're a big fan of all the faith films. But there's a lot more faith in them than movie in them sometimes.
Well, it's like you get one or the other. It's either a faith film or it's a good movie. You don't typically get both.
But not with this. This is a different kind of thing. So I didn't want to give too much away, but your understanding was that his conversion or the beginnings of his conversion and beginning to understand that he was being called to be a priest with the motorcycle accident really happened in a way that's like depicted in the movie. Was that dramatic and included?
It was. The one thing they did a little differently was they kind of switched the order of the true sequence. The motorcycle accident comes before the conversion.
Okay.
And I know why they did it in the film, and it makes sense once you see the movie. But that accident really started it because it opened himself to the fact that there was a God that had spared him, and he didn't know what that meant. And he didn't believe that before, and after that accident, somehow his heart was open. And when it was suggested he look at the Catholic faith, he came at it seriously. He'd gone to a Catholic college, Carroll College. He had graduated from there. It's actually where I'm assigned and where I live. And it was, you know, the fact that he came out of here not really knowing much about faith, he just rejected it. He had some friends that were priests, but he didn't think much about faith.
Yeah. He's not the first person who's come through a Catholic college without having Catholic faith, however, Father.
Yes.
In some ways, we've perfected that at some Catholic colleges. But so there's something that's not depicted in the movie is that he had gone to this Catholic college. But it is depicted in the movie that he's a very, how should we say, plain-spoken person. He just says it. He just says, is that the truth about him?
That is the absolute truth. He was very plain spoken. He just blurted things out that he believed, and it would hit you between the eyes.
Really? Now, and when I spoke, I did get to speak with Mel Gibson for a few minutes about this movie, and he mentioned the suffering as a key to conversion. You mentioned the motorcycle accident as a key to opening up the heart to conversion. I want to ask you in general as a priest, but also in terms of Father Stu and his life. Is suffering a key to the conversion experience?
That's a good question, because I tell people, you know, Stu didn't go searching for suffering, and we don't need to go searching for suffering. Suffering is part of living. There's going to be suffering just in being alive, and that can take so many different forms. And oftentimes with our suffering, we wanted to say, well, why did God do this? Or there is no God, or this is such a horrible thing. No loving God will let this happen. And what Stu was able to do with his life and teach us to do with our sufferings, whatever they are, is like Jesus himself suffered. And in that suffering, he loves us. And so if we can take our suffering and offer it to God, we can understand the love of God in us through our sufferings. And sometimes God, you know, moves us past suffering. Sometimes, as in Stu's case, you carry the cross to the very end. But the love of God is present. And Stu radiated that in the way he lived, the way he held to the faith, and really just in his joy and his sense of humor he kept intact. It was beautiful.
You know, I in watching the movie, I thought this would be a great movie if it was just a movie about this rough, tough guy who lives a wild life and he becomes a Catholic because he falls in love with a woman who's Catholic, and then becomes a priest. That could make a really good movie, but the movie is something beyond just a really good movie because it involves his illness, and that And also, I think that Wahlberg and Gibson and Rosalind Ross did a beautiful job of depicting how his illness, because he embraced it as something that God had given him, became fruitful. It became fruitful for other people.
Yes. I mean, I you know, you're right. That would be a good movie. Just he becomes a priest.
Yeah.
But God doesn't really let us off the hook. And Stu never saw that priesthood was just kind of an end. And the disease taught him that it's, you keep going, you keep moving forward all the way to the end. And I think just the fact that it's like this, sometimes in our spiritual lives, we get a certain comfort level. I'm good, you know, and I'm doing all this stuff. And God is always trying to move us forward a little bit more, to grow a little bit more, and not just to be kind of stagnant as we move forward toward the Lord. And that disease pushed him really close to God in a way that if he'd just been a priest, he would have been a great priest. And I mean, in some ways he'd still be around and we could, you know, we wouldn't have to miss him, but that disease really taught us something altogether new. And so that's why the story just keeps pushing in that way. And it was true in Stu's life. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's a scene where people are coming to visit him, and it's clear that he's ill, but they're coming to visit him because he's a priest. And they, I mean, it almost looks like a confession line. Maybe that's what it is, outside of the recovery hospital that he's in. People just wanting to be near that kind of the sanctity that had come from him embracing his illness.
The you know, the line when he first moved into Big Sky, and it was a convalescent center, you know, a nursing home, if you will. Stu was kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I want to try to find stuff to do. And, you know, I got him involved in a few things. But over the time, his tenacity, his straightforwardness, his love, his availability to people, they just knew they could go up to the nursing home and see a really good priest. And if they needed to have a confession, Stu would do that. If they needed anointing, Stu would do that. So he had to get help, but he could still do it. If they needed counsel, Stu would do that. He would have mass. They would come there for mass. If they needed a good joke, Stu would do that. And there, you just walk in there on any given day, and there'd be a line down the hall. And the poor residents that had to live there with him were having to maneuver around these lines because they were just standing. They didn't have anywhere else to go. And so Stu turned Big Sky Care Center, for the time he lived there, into basically Big Sky Catholic Church. Yeah. Because it was more of a church than a care center. It was really amazing.
But what a model for all of us that he didn't say, I got to get out of here and you know, I got to overcome this. I mean, you know, he could, the disease was progressive and fatal, but he embraced where he was and did what he could. And it turned into something really powerful and beautiful just by humbly doing what he could.
Yeah. Yeah.
So were you shocked when you heard Mark Wahlberg wants to make his story into a movie, or how did you, when you first hear these Hollywood people are trying to make a movie out of it, what did you feel?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to think. I mean, I'm always a little skeptical of Hollywood.
Really?
It was wonderful news. Yeah, imagine. it was wonderful news. We didn't know if it was, I mean, I also know that, you know, for every 50 ideas in Hollywood, one of them gets made. And then for every one that gets made, maybe one out of every 100 is halfway decent, you know? So I didn't know. The thing is, Stu's life is greater than any movie they could ever depict. I mean, and so I was privileged just to be a witness to it and a friend to him in those times. And, you know, it was just incredible. But I think it's a great idea for a movie, and I think it was really God's work into Mark Wahlberg's heart to get this movie made. I mean, kind of opened his ears finally to receive the story. And when Mark Wahlberg could have given up on it, I mean, he had every reason to give up on it. It was a hard thing to get put together and to get the right script and the right people. He didn't, and he just said, "I kept praying," and it just kept coming over and over and over. And so, it's one of those things. It's a little miracle that the fact that the film got made. And hopefully there'll be a lot of grace from the fact that it was made and that Mark Wahlberg stuck with it. And God brought him Rosalind Ross, and then Mel Gibson is involved. And you know, that helps to make a better film.
Yeah, it really does feel, I mean, and when you hear, I mean, I've heard several interviews with Mark Wahlberg. I had the opportunity to do one myself, and repeatedly he has talked about the fact that this was an act of perseverance, and it came from a very strong sense in prayer that he needed to do this. But anybody else would, I mean, on Human Power, you would have given up and said, no, this is just not going to get made.
I mean, I said, you know, Mark's, Wahlberg has to suffer through this thing. Yeah. Stu suffered and Mark had to suffer, and Stu was a priest for a little over 6 years, and Mark had to suffer for a little over 6 years to get the movie made. So Mark's a different person because he had to fight to get this thing made versus just all coming together in the first week, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Right, right. There's a reason why the Lord doesn't, why not everything is easy, why it's not always made easy for us. I mean, certainly you see that in Father Stu's life. And I think you're right. This has a parallel in what appears to have been Mark Wahlberg's experience, that it, had it been easy, it wouldn't have been as beautiful as it was. It wouldn't have produced the fruits that it produced. I do have to ask you about this. The language in the movie, especially the first half of the movie, is I was in the movie with several sailors, and they were embarrassed. They were by the shocking saltiness of the language. They were like, as sailors, we would never speak like this. And then some truck drivers got up and walked out. And there was the I'm only kidding, Father. But the language is salty. Did you have any reservations about that?
I was like, where were you watching this? Some sort of foreign country.
No sailors or truck drivers walked out. But you know what I'm talking about. The language is quite realistic. Let's put it that way. What were your feelings about that?
I mean, the ironic thing is Stu worked really hard to clean up his own language, and he challenged other guys, especially guys, to clean up their language. He had many unusual penances he would give them to help them in their use of language. But hey, you know, living even on a college campus and you walk around town, I can tell you I've heard almost every line you hear uttered in the film just walking down the street. Right. So I think the goal was that it was not just like, oh, let's just have this profane use of language, but let's make it real. Like, you're walking down the street and this is how people are talking. We can identify with that, especially young people. Yeah, that's how people talk. And then they're like, well, I can see that guy. The guy looks like a real guy to me. And then all of a sudden he's like, gets serious about faith. And I'm like, what? You know, right, I mean, right. I thought that was Holy Rollers that did that. And no, this guy was down at the bottom. I mean, he beat people up, and then he's all of a sudden coming to God and changes his tune and has this profound charity and gentleness that's so strong, despite his failing body. It's just amazing.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you that question because I feel like there are probably a few people in the world who would be like, well, why is the church promoting this movie? And I feel like we have to say something about that. We have to be very strong in our defense of the artists, that they had good reason to do what they did, and what they did works beautifully.
Yeah, and I would just say the film isn't for everybody. I mean, there are some people that it will affect their sensibilities, and that's, you know, that's fine. I mean, no one's going to judge you for that at all. I mean, that's could be a very good thing. So, I mean, it's, I tell people, a lot of families are like, oh, we want to take, and I'm like, this is not the kind of thing you load the kids in the car and take to a Sunday family film. This is a tough film, and it's got some tough things in it. And really, the language is tough. And that's the way it is. And because it was that way for Stu. And so you have to prepare yourself. And you know, it's not for everybody, but I think a lot of people, even some people I know that normally are very offended by that, really they understood it once they saw the film, and it kind of even made it more beautiful for them because it's such a beautiful redemption, transformation, conversion.
And both you and Father Stu, then, if you were ordained in 2007, you're becoming priests. And you may not have thought of this before, Father. I may be the first person to say this to you. At a time when the priesthood was somewhat in disrepute. Am I the first person to have said that to you?
No.
But no. I mean, but this is part of this movie, I think, is a sense that this is really what priests are like. Like those of us who have lived Catholic lives, we know about those priests who are misbehaviors and all that. But for the most part, this is what priests are like. They're not all saints, but but they're more like Father Stu than they are like the villain of that was depicted in the early part of this century.
I hope so. I mean, I know that Stu and I talked before we were ordained about all the scandals in the church and, you know, how bad it was. And, you know, Stu's attitude was, look, I'm not like that. You're not like that. Let's go make a difference. Not because we're high and mighty or so much better than everyone else, because we're just going to be who we are. And God's changing us every day. And we're just going to be who we are as priests for God. And given the grace to live as a priest, we'll live. And we are not saints. We're not perfect. Stu, good Lord, he was not perfect. And no priest is perfect. But we're human. We have weaknesses. We have strengths. We eat. We sleep. And, you know, it's a human life that you live for God as a priest.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg said we were surprised to hear him say this. He said he hoped the movie would encourage more men to consider a vocation of the priesthood. Is that your hope as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting to hear some of my brother priests say, hey, that I've seen the film, they say, I think this might put a new face on the priesthood. And it's kind of surprising to me because Stu was so one of a kind, but everyone's really one of a kind.
Right.
And no one is beyond the call of God. No young man is beyond the call of God.
Yeah. A new face, or maybe the old face, the face that we, you know, priests have, you remember the Bing Crosby movies, even, you know, they're not like this movie, but at least they assumed that God was at work in the life of a priest and the priest was trying. And then we got away from that. But I hope that that's the case. I'll propose to you a theory before I let you go. I do think the priesthood has been so battered and abused and ridiculed, and priests have been mocked, and I'm sure that you've experienced that yourself, Father. But Father Stu's call begins with is Marian very much. Mary plays an important part in his call, and Mark Wahlberg told us that Mary played an important part in his making of this movie. She wouldn't let him stop. And I wonder if you have considered this. It seems to me that there's some aspect of this movie that is so Marian at its depth. The call of the men who made this movie, the people who made this movie, is Marian. I think that she wanted this movie made because she loves priests and she wanted to defend them. She wanted to stick up for them.
I absolutely agree. I would say three things that I think. One is, I certainly think the Blessed Mother had a huge hand and will continue to have a huge hand, and the effect of this movie on hearts. She's calling us to our Immaculate Heart, and she's loving us more than ever during these days as our Heavenly Mother. I also think that her son, of course, wanted this movie to be made because Stu, in so many ways, reflected Jesus in a such a unique way. And yet you'd just be thinking, this is the Lord being reflected in this guy, in his brokenness, and yet in his service and his love. And finally, I think that also Stu wanted this movie made, and may have more to do with it than we all realize right now. So we might be surprised along the way.
Father Bart Tollison, we're very, very grateful that you took the time for us. We're grateful for your priesthood and the beautiful way you've meditated on it with us. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Si.
Father, we usually ask priests this. I probably should have warned you before. Would you mind giving us your blessing and our listeners your blessing as well before you go?
Certainly. Lord God, in great thanksgiving for these days, though they're dark, that you are risen from the dead and you bring us hope. And even in suffering, you bring us hope. And so may all who are listening right now be blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Don't usually get to do movie reviews around here at Catholic Answers Focus, although we did do one on Enola Holmes a while ago. But this is a movie I really hope you will see. It's a beautiful movie about a man who really came to an encounter with Christ and was transformed by that encounter, and then went out and transformed lots of other people because of that encounter. It opens Wednesday, April 13th. See it wherever you can.